Center of the best sound in Caribbean radio. This is VOC Radio.
Let's talk St. Kitts and Nevis, a talk show and current affairs program focusing on St. Kitts and Nevis, the Caribbean, and international news. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, join host Andre Huey as he delves into topical issues of the day. We'll open the lines so you can call in and be part of the discussion. And he'll feature guests each week to help shed light on the various topics of discussion. Let's talk St. Kitts and Nevis with Andre Huey, Tuesdays at 10 a.m., with rebroadcasts on Wednesdays and Fridays, also at 10 a.m., on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Also listen on our Android mobile app and TuneIn Radio. Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
This is Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. I'm your host, Andre Huey. On today's edition of Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis, we discuss the topic of financial literacy. Is St. Kitts and Nevis financially literate? Or are there gaps in how people learn about money and the economy? All that we'll discuss today on Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis. Our panelists comprise two financial experts. We have Telly Ono, who's a serial entrepreneur, financial innovator, and digital economist, and CEO of Risen, an educational platform based in the US, Justin Fraser. Both of them will speak on the topic of financial literacy on today's program. Then later on in the show, we'll be speaking with a student from St. Kitts and Nevis who recently graduated from the New York Film Academy, Zaisha Joseph, as she speaks about her plans to develop a film industry in the Caribbean and in St. Kitts and Nevis. All that on today's edition of Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis. But first, we'll take a break and be right back.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
It's the new and improved SK Newsline Android mobile app. With the SK Newsline app, you can watch your news reports, the SK Newsline newscast, sports, special features, and so much more. You can also send us a WhatsApp or call us directly. Go in the Google Play Store, search SK Newsline, and download the app today. The SK Newsline mobile app. News on the go.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. Stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers in St. Kitts and Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. Log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with SMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. SMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website, www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center in Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Making your event memorable. Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastia, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks. Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buff in, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car. Call 765-5140 or visit them on the Collins Street Gut, Bastia, St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where service is number one.
The voice of the Caribbean Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis. I'm Andre Huey. Well, we'll get into that discussion, as I said at the start of the show, with Telly Ono and Justin Fraser on the issue of financial literacy.
I'm Andre Huey, and welcome to this special interview as we take a look at financial literacy. What it is, what is it really? And are we doing enough of it here in the Caribbean and generally around the world? I'm very pleased to introduce my panel with you this day. I have with me Telly Ono, who is a serial entrepreneur, financial innovator, and digital economist. And also joining us from the United States, CEO of Risen and a professional trader, Justin Fraser, both quite experienced in the area of financial literacy. Gentlemen and lady, welcome to this special discussion today.
Thank you, Andre. Thank you for having us.
So ladies first, we'll ask Telly, and I'm going to keep it quite simple. Just define for us, for our viewers and listeners, what is financial literacy?
Well, for me, financial literacy is really consists of the educational aspects of having someone understand just basically how money works, how to manage money, and how to use it in your daily life. But for the most part, financial literacy has evolved, because normally financial literacy will cover things like products, financial products that are already on offer, and basically the options, but it doesn't go far enough to say, okay, this is how you act on it, or financial behavior. So what you're seeing now is perhaps we can see an evolution of financial literacy, which is going deeper into financial capabilities, which doesn't just cover knowledge skills, but actually addresses actions. It addresses the psychological behavior, because money and decision-making is really about emotional decision-making. So understanding that, covering the individual's mindset and getting them on a growth path, and how to make proper decisions at different times, whether good or bad.
Yeah. Justin, I'm going to come to you. The United States, big country, we think of it as the land of opportunity, where, you know, money abounds, essentially. But you have a different story, essentially, from your American experience. Just tell us a bit about your experience encountering people and educating people on financial literacy in the U.S.
Sure. Well, actually, I grew up in the Caribbean, in the Cayman Islands, one of the top financial districts in the world. And we always heard about people housing their money there for tax savings. Eventually, I moved to the U.S. as it was the land of opportunity, and I ended up teaching high school algebra and found that many of my students, they don't even have a basic understanding of money, and algebra is a subject that is very difficult. So that's why I created a concept called RISEN. It's an online educational platform to introduce financial literacy to people all over the world in multiple languages. And so gone are the days where people, they only think about saving money and putting it in a savings account or a checking account. That doesn't work. It doesn't keep up with the rate of inflation. It doesn't keep up with the things that are necessary. And people don't understand that millionaires and billionaires, they use debt and loans. And that is how they get ahead, and they're able to accumulate massive amounts of wealth. They use money to make money. And people don't understand that. They think that it's just about going to work and having a job and finding a good, secure career that you can work and get ahead. That's not going to cut it in this day and age. You've got to learn how to take your money and use it to make more money in the markets, in investments, and land, other opportunities that may come along. You know, I teach people about cryptocurrency, about foreign exchange currency, trading money for money in the Forex market, stocks and options, futures, trading gold or commodities. So there's many opportunities where people can make money in the markets. And that is essentially what I believe I am called to do, to try to help the people around the world learn more about money and investing, or using money to make money rather than trading their time for money. If they don't go to work, they don't make money. So how else are you using your money to make money?
Yeah. Telly, from a Caribbean context, do you find that the culture of the region of, you know, not just St. Kitts and Nevis, but countries all over the world, in the region, that there is somewhat of a cultural block, if I may use that term, towards persons learning, as Justin said, using your money to make money? In other words, does the culture encourages that kind of activity generally?
Well, when you look at the Caribbean on a whole, we're really focused on debt. We're debt centric. So in that context, it's more focused around savings. And when you think about it, because we're debt centric and we're also bank centric, ideally banks would offer products such as loans to make money off of it. So at the end of the day, the encouragement to use your bank account and save money is beneficial to the banks, so not necessarily beneficial to the individual. So because of the history, and you have to look at our historical context, because of how our banking system came about, and it's organic, and initially it was really, you know, used during colonial times for the plantocracy. Now it has evolved. It's become the main institution that we utilize. And for the most part, the products have not necessarily diversified. We still have certain basic products. So you have a number of people that are excluded from the financial system, like small, medium enterprises have challenges because that particular construct of the banking system was really set up to deal with large business. You know, we're exporting sugar, exporting bananas. So we're dealing with big business, but then nothing had ever really evolved to facilitate access to finance for SMEs. And of course, you have other people who are poor, marginalized persons also would find challenges with the existing banking system. And if you really look at our historical context, remember the banks that really established were the Canadian banks,
right?
Which had evolved. So I would say that it's, to answer your question directly, it doesn't really foster alternatives like investments or anything like that, because the focus is really solely focused on debt instruments and really from the perspective of the institutions.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Do you want to chime in on that, Justin, especially seeing that you've also been, you've lived in the Caribbean as well, so you understand, you know, the Caribbean culture to that extent.
Yeah, I actually agree completely. And, you know, I write a little bit about it in my book. I'm also an author. I wrote a book called I Can't Change You. I Can't Change You. And I talk about the wealthy's grip on society and power and control. And they control the media. They control the politicians. They use money. They also control the banking industry. And so there's many industries that are in bed together with each other. And banks, they loan money, as she said, for individuals. And it creates more debt for them where they don't understand, because they're working to pay off these high interest loans for whatever they're paying for. But they don't use their money to make money in other areas to try to get ahead. So the banking system, when it pays interest on money, it's less than probably 0.25% or less than 0.1% on the actual money that is placed in those accounts. And these banks, they use that money to loan it out at other rates of interest for people to get homes or vehicles or start business, et cetera. They also use it to invest in other companies or businesses As she also stated, in other sectors, larger companies or corporations to get them ahead. And individuals, they don't stand a chance against the big banks. So it's important that they have an understanding of financial literacy and using money. I keep going back to that, using money to make money.
Yeah. When we look at the general scheme of things, and as you pointed out quite clearly, Telly, that, you know, gone are the days when you can just say, okay, just put your money in the bank and that's enough. Now you have to begin to look at ways, other ways in which your money can make money. What will it take to get to that stage? What will it take for people to inculcate that culture? Because the moment you come, and generally speaking, when you come to people and you talk to them about, you know, investing money or, you know, try to educate them on different options other than the bank and what they know, they become very skeptical. They probably see it as a scam, or they're very cautious and very, risk averse, if you want to put it that way. How can we get people generally who are not normally exposed to financial literacy to begin to think differently and open up and to change your paradigm when it comes to investing and money?
Well, to answer that very simply is, the reason they become skeptical is they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the information, they're really not exposed to it. So they see, you know, they hear about stocks, they see the market up and down, they have no inkling as to what it takes. For you to become a trader, you have to go through an educational program. You have to go through like a test bed. You have to do trial and error so that you understand market dynamics. It's a whole educational, it's a whole area, a new area of education that really has not really been, delivered to us as individuals. So I think it's for the institutions around and also individual programs to actually offer capacity building programs. I mean, right now I know that within at least the OECS, the ECTU, they did trial part of their financial savings and investment. But I think in the last 2 or 3 years, I think just before COVID, they started introducing real estate investment. And I'm sure if you really look at the cohorts who have gone through that real estate investment, you would be surprised to find that a number of them had now been empowered with that knowledge of how to go about real estate investing and have themselves been able to do some projects. I remember meeting a few people, and they told me they went to the program and now they've got two portfolios, two housing portfolios. So, I mean, it just goes to show you what you don't know, what you don't know. So educational programs are very critical. And then again, I think we have to also discern what is good education from bad education. You can Google anything and you can go on YouTube and people will be telling you how they made $1 million, $2 million, all kind of stuff. So I think also we have to also be very careful in terms of having, you know, accessing this information from credible sources, and not just credible sources. We're not talking about traditional school, you know, as in academia. We're also talking about experiential learning, where there are very practical things that you can do and steps that you could take. So it does take that effort for ecosystem and players to come in and provide education like my colleague here. But then also we have to now look at how we can also influence financial capability, financial literacy and financial capability in the educational system. So yeah, there's a role that the educational system has to play. I really like in the US, there are a few states who actually have financial literacy acts. And right now financial literacy is mandatory in the curriculum. I think in the UK, they've also incorporated it in the curricula, but in high schools. So we're talking about starting it from the beginning. I remember when I was going to school, and I think I was in either kindergarten or something, I was doing savings. There was a little savings club and an investing club. And then like when we got to primary, one of the things is how you make money. This is why I'm an entrepreneur. I'm always selling things. I started with selling lemons, lemonade. And then I went on to doing things. And I remember being 8 or 9 years old, having afforded the opportunity to going abroad, you know, with my parents. Went shopping, went to some market. I realized, oh my gosh, I found some stuff that were like really dirt cheap. And I think I got like maybe 50 pounds. So I went to Spitfield Market or whatever in London. And I remember buying these bracelets and stuff because I knew, I said, my friends would really love them. And you know, the markup I made on them, over 1,000%. Mm-hmm. So knowing how to make money on entrepreneurship is a key part of it, because you can go through your career, you can get your education, you can even do finance and work in finance for a salary. You have a ceiling. So in order to lift that ceiling, you need to have other avenues for you to kind of create that initial pool that will let you, that will enable you to start, you know, putting your money to work.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. And I'm going to get Justin to chime in a bit, because in the Caribbean, generally speaking, people are entrepreneurial by nature. I mean, there are people out on the street selling. They kind of call it the hustle culture. And I you see some of it also in the US, the hustle culture. You know, you have a job, but you're doing something on the side, or you don't have a job, so you go out and you sell and you try to make ends meet. But how do you sort of now tailor that in a way in which, okay, it's no longer about hustling, but it's about now, you know, properly going through a channel and developing that entrepreneurial spirit?
You want to go first, or I could take
well,
it?
Well, Justin could go first, and then you could chime in afterwards.
Justin, chime in.
Well, going back to what I've learned in my research of the education system, John D. Rockefeller, many people would know him. He was the founder and CEO of Standard Oil and probably the first trillionaire that we would know of. He said that we need a nation of workers, not a nation of thinkers. So he had a major influence through money over the educational system in the United States. Mm-hmm. And it kind of dumbed down the educational system to create a worker or an institutionalized mindset. I call it the same way that Bob Marley said, mental slavery. And it put people in a mindset to continue just to go to work and get paid and pay your bills, have a nice house, a nice car, maybe take one vacation a year, raise a nice family, but you're stuck in a cycle, an institutional cycle, and you don't get out of that mindset to create wealth. And like my co-panelists here, I also was an entrepreneur selling candy in school from 7 and 8 years old. By the time I was 11 or 12, I was making $100 to $200 a day in middle school. And, you know, I would get beat by the principal for continuing to sell candy in school, but it did something. And you know, the principal, he called me in after the third time and he said, young Frazier, I can't beat you, so I'm gonna have to join you. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go out and buy some products and I'm going to have you sell them and we're gonna split the profit after you pay me back my principal. Taught me a lot at 13 years old. And the only stipulation was I could not sell in school. So I had to go door to door outside of school and sell these products that he bought. A phenomenal individual, but taught me well. And that is where I began to cultivate a mindset of the entrepreneur spirit and say, man, this is a lot of work walking in this hot Caribbean sun from door to door in the summer. You know, I was getting roasted. So I laid on my bed one evening and I said, what can I create or do that would generate money every month, month in and month out, that I don't have to keep doing it once I've done it? And I learned that that's called passive residual income, where your money begins to work for you. And that's what the wealthy do. They have ways that create money that continues to generate more money month in and month out without them having to continue to work for it. And millionaires have 7 streams of income, billionaires have 8 streams of income, and they invest in different arenas. Now, with the online concept that I have, Ryzn, RYZNN, behind me here, RYZNN, we want to teach individuals, you don't need to know everything about the market or how to understand the charting and everything. Like, I'm self-taught, been trading for over 25 years. I've made millions of dollars. I've made $70,000 in 15 minutes, crazy money. Now, I've lost as much as well, because risk management is vital And until you learn to control your emotions and the greed, you will continue to fail. So one of the things that I tell people, I say, no risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. Fortune favors the bold. You have to get up and go after it. You have to take control of your future and do what it takes to become better or become the best, become an expert in whatever. So with our concept, we want to teach individuals or model that for them. I'm a professional educator. I taught high school. So one of the best ways of education is called discovery, teaching to discovery, not teaching to a test like we do today. And it sets many people up for failure because they're not good under pressure. They're not good test takers. So I want to change the whole education system. However, with teaching to discovery, you're helping them, you're showing them what to do. And then the light bulb is going off in their head and they see it and they catch on. So what we do, we get in live trading sessions, trading currency or stocks or options. We show them what we're looking at and they start to see and understand. And they don't have to know everything. They just follow along with what we're doing, and they can profit while we're profiting. So like she said, she made 1,000% return. That's what people understand. What kind of percentage are we going to make on our money? Well, the bank will pay you in a savings account, what I say, less than 1/10, 1/4 of a percent, less than 1% a year on your money. Where if you get involved in real estate or stocks or options, yes, there's going to be times where you're going to lose money, but you have to learn that losing is a part of winning and you're not going to win all the time. However, if you continue at it slow and steady, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You will eventually, or you set yourself up to be highly successful, and you can make 5% a week, 10% a week. It just depends on how much money you start with. You don't need a lot to start. Maybe $100 or $500, but you've got to start somewhere. If you don't start, you'll never know where you'll end up. You miss 100% of the opportunities that you don't take.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sinkis Nevis. We'll take a break and come back and continue our discussion with Telly and Justin on financial literacy.
I'm Making It Happen with Nicole Tyson every Tuesday at 11 a.m. with a rebroadcast at 4 p.m. Get insightful information with interesting guests from the U.S. Virgin Islands, each and every week. I'm Making It Happen with Nicole Tyson, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
Nestled between evergreen mountains and the Caribbean Sea on the island of St. Kitts is the Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center. With breathtaking views, a rugged, beautiful shoreline, and immaculate manicured gardens, make this the perfect location for your holiday, event, or wedding. With a large convention center, apartments with balconies providing stunning views, and a secluded cottage for larger family groups or honeymooning couples looking for some privacy, we have something for everyone. Book your stay at www.millhousesknn.com or visit our Facebook page, the Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center, an oasis of tranquility.
Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
The Entrepreneurial You. Wednesdays at 11 a.m. with a rebroadcast at 4 p.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
For all your printing needs at top-notch quality, go to Digital Print Plus, located on Princess Street, Bastyr, St. Kitts. At Digital Print Plus, you get the best in business cards, letterheads, envelopes, wristbands, tent cards, rack cards, flyers, brochures, logo designs, posters, photos, architectural designs, 3D renderings, and so much more. Digital Print Plus gives you the best quality at competitive prices. Contact us at 767-7468 or email digitalprintskn@gmail.com or follow us on Facebook at Digital Print SKN. Digital Print Plus, for all your printing needs at the best quality.
You're listening to Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net.
Welcome back to Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis. We continue our discussion on the topic of financial literacy.
Looking at what's happening now around the world with the economic situation on the horizon that some people believe will head down south, considering that you have the war in Ukraine, you have supply chain issues internationally. We're just coming out of the pandemic, which also impacted the economy. What do you tell someone or a group of people who lost their jobs? They've gone through a difficult time. Some of them are still unemployed. They're not working. They're trying to find work. Some have tried businesses, have not been so successful. What do you tell persons who are in those situations as it relates to financial literacy and how they can improve their personal situation?
Well, in a case where, because of the economic downturn, people lost their main source of income and they find it hard to get jobs, I think for them, the most important thing is they are probably under a lot of financial stress, because we live in a world where you do have monthly commitments, whether it's your rent or mortgage, whatever. So they will obviously feel a lot of strain and stress because they're unable to meet their commitments. I think that one of the best ways to kind of encourage them is if there are existing programs that allow them to upskill or find a new skill, is a way for them to kind of diversify, because a lot of times when you have these economic events, it also is a signal that you have to pivot and do something else or enhance your skills if you really look at it. For example, in some cases where you have, as you know, alluding to the example Justin indicated, in terms of back in the day, because of, was it Rockefeller? Mm-hmm. You have like this industrial system that was put in place where you have workers now. Now these workers are being replaced by machines, yep. Computers, everything is digital, you know? So there's certain work that is going to be affected, especially if you want to lower cost. You're not necessarily want to do manual processes anymore. You want to digitize them. And by digitizing, you are going to be replacing perhaps a type of employment that really is dependent on that manual labor. This is happening across many industries, manufacturing, you name it. And it's not a case where, okay, jobs are being lost. Yes, jobs are being lost, but jobs are also evolving and becoming a little more knowledge intensive, a little more sophisticated. They require you to retrain. So this thing about being very comfortable in your comfort zone, you know, because, you know, back in the day, you remember those days where you had one career and that was it, nothing changed. You can't, you know, if you look at the CV of a young person today than before, they probably have three or four different competencies or three or four skills. I mean, I can tell you, me, as an entrepreneur, why am I serial? You know, it's also a result of the ecosystem I'm in. Yes, I'm a management consultant, but to be a consultant, you have to have competencies in a certain area. And it changes, the opportunities vary. So you end up having to build a competency in international trade, a competency in climate finance, a competency in digital transformation, and so on and so forth, lifelong learning. So that whole principle of lifelong learning isn't just about academic skills, but you have to really find what you're good at, because technical vocational skills are really important. It's not just about reading and being literate. You have to be able to do something, use your hands. So this is where you tap into your creative expressions, because all of us have some sort of talent. We might not necessarily be all great with our hands, but some people are, you know, artists, whatever. So tap into your source, what makes you tick, the things that you can do, and do an assessment, because sometimes people take it for granted. They never do self-assessments. They've been working in a particular job for so long, they never actually analyze what is it they do in this particular job. And looking at the ecosystem, what services can I offer that allows me to do this, 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 that I do in my current job? And there you have opportunities in micro consulting and so on. I mean, you look at the platforms we have today. In this day and age, it's much easier. You have Fiverr, which allows you to do freelance. So you find people are freelancing and offering services for skill sets that they already have. They're not necessarily consultants in the traditional sense, but they know how to probably transform a PDF to a Word document and format the doc. And with that, that's a skill they do in the everyday business at work. And so they can say, okay, let's see if I could sell this particular service. So you have to be open. You have to dig deep to see what skills you have. You have to also be very truthful to yourself to see where the gaps are, where you see the market is moving, and where you think you need to build up your capacity. And this, again, the internet is your friend. They have some programs that are free. If you go to Coursera and some of these platforms, Udemy, they have courses that you could take, which are like cheap, really, really cheap, that at least provide you some, I'm not saying you're going to be an expert overnight, but at least it gives you that foundation for what Justin talks about, discovery. It unlocks something that allows you to expand your mindset, your growth mindset, and you start exploring. This is what is missing in our region. Is critical thinking. No one taught anyone how to problem solve. Problem solving wasn't part of creating people who just are line workers. You don't want them to problem solve. You just want them to just keep doing things, repetitive tasks. Now we require problem solving skills. So this is an opportunity for people to kind of improve their communication skills. Because again, if in this space where everything is independent, you have to sell yourself, you have to sell, if you're selling a product, you have to know how to sell that. So there's certain skills that are fundamental: communication, marketing, sales. Apart from understanding how you're managing, how you're creating, how you're planning to create the wealth, so entrepreneurship programs as well, access those, because you can create a side hustle while you're working for another business. It doesn't really matter. But these are not, before they used to be called soft skills, they're no longer soft. These are mandatory skills you need to have. You should be able to communicate effectively and efficiently. Number one, if you can't do that, you can't go anywhere, because it's all about negotiation back and forth. You should have some sort of entrepreneurial skills, at least know how to identify an opportunity, how to act upon their opportunity. Justin mentioned something which is fundamental: risk-taking. So entrepreneurship, launching a venture, that is a type of investment. But we never ever look at it within the lens of investing, because it's one of your biggest risks, highest risks. To take it from venture to execution is a huge investment. So that's just one option. Be open to other ways of investing. So Justin talked about a lot of trading and dealing with public markets and so on. I'm very much into alternative financial models, alternative investments. So even like, say, the real estate, where traditionally they say, okay, invest in real estate, but you know you have to look at it from a very long-term view. But nowadays they have different options where you can access real estate opportunities like shares, because they're able to fractionalize it, and they may have some type of projects that are cash flowing, so you can get some returns every year as opposed to waiting 5-10 years before the thing is sold. So I mean, there's so many different variations. So another thing I would tell the person is, again, look at what you have, what you're passionate about, because there's so many different options like in investing. Not just one thing to say, okay, invest. If you look at the landscape, you're probably going to look at 20, 30 different models, right? But look at things that you have an interest in. So yeah, I talked to some clients of mine, and some clients, they're male and they're into cars. You talk cars and woo, that's it. So I'm like, okay, a way of introducing them into investing, I'll now introduce them into fractional investing in vintage cars and stuff like that. and then introduce them how to understand and research the market. A lot of times they even have more information than I do. And they evolve. They tell me about EV, electric vehicles and stuff like that. So they already have the market knowledge. They can tell you the latest, the greatest, what type of engine. So I'm like, put that information to work and now do some more research and additional things that you need to do to make a proper decision, a more calculated decision. This is where the entrepreneurial skill comes in, because everything is a risk. But once you are informed and you have an idea and you know, okay, well, I'm able to risk whatever. The other thing that's really important, and it's really a foundation, is having everyone understand their behavior with money and their relationship with money. But when I'm doing a financial literacy class these days, I always start with that as my foundation. Because if you cannot reconcile or understand the link you have with your emotions, the link you have with maybe some historical context, it could be your upbringing, it could be how you saw your parents influence you with the money, or whether you went to church and all you heard the pastor say, money is the root of all evil. All of these things are seep into your subconscious mind. And believe me, they actually influence the decision. There might be stress, you know, there might be stressful situations or dynamic between your parents, or you observe, and then you observe your mother relieving her stress by going stress shopping. So so whenever you're under stress, the first thing you want to do is blow $200, because this is your vex shopping or whatever they call it, right? It's a behavior pattern. You have to break the cycle. Not saying these behaviors are bad. There has to be a balance, but you have to understand where the behavior came from, how to address this behavior, how to change it, and then create new habits. And these days you got apps, reminders, alarms, mm-hmm. to bug you to change your habit every day. Do this every day, do this every day. After you do it for 3 weeks, it becomes a habit.
Justin, that was very insightful, actually. And I think there's so many things you can pick out of what you said, especially for persons, as you know, we talked about persons who may not be working, or those who are working, but you know, feel as if they're hitting that ceiling and they can't go any further. So it's really some really good insights. But Justin, I want you to talk on the educational aspect. We're almost out of time. The educational aspect and what you do at Risen, because you talked about financial education earlier. Telly was talking about introducing financial literacy in the education systems, introducing it back into the education systems in the Caribbean, and to sort of get children at a young age to start thinking about money and how money can make money. But talk to us about what you do at Risen and how that ties into the whole financial education.
Sure, I will definitely do that. Let me just touch on what Telly just mentioned. As far as Pastor saying that money is the root of all evil, a common concept, the Bible actually says the love of money.
Love of money. Yes. It's one of the most misquoted passages in the Bible too.
even Jesus had the parable of the talents, then he said, you know, held my servant, the one that took it and invested and made 10 talents. Mm-hmm. The understanding also in what Telly was saying, one of the top things that I would put in that list that she mentioned of what she would say people need is a mandatory requirement, I would say would be a technical understanding computers or applications for telephone, cell phone, or laptop. It is vital. It touches back to the question you asked a minute ago about the global economy. Mm-hmm. And I believe the Bible even backs this up in the prophecy that we are going to a society. And if you look up the words Great Reset, see it being talked about at the World Economic Forum. And they are looking to transition from a fiat currency, which is our paper and coin money, to a digital currency.
Digital currency, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Telly mentioned she works with CDC, central bank, digital currencies, and that is where we're headed. So individuals will need to have an understanding of digital transactions and currencies and how to move money or how to make money digitally. And so even, you know, when I made $500,000 in 2 days trading friends thought I was doing something illegal. I said, it's just, I just learned how to do it.
Yeah.
So listen, you know, it's an online or a virtual learning concept like Coursera or Udemy that Telly also mentioned. Those are my top two competitors that I'm going to eventually, within a few years, slide on up and push them over to the side and say, Risen is here. Yeah. And we are going to help millions of people by bringing the cost of education way down. The pillars of Risen are motivational or inspirational. So we have inspire and then educate and elevate over here. So we want to inspire people. So we have motivational speakers. It's a monthly fee to be a part of this. And we inspire you to believe in yourself and believe that you can do the impossible. And then we have courses. The second pillar is financial literacy, to teach individuals how to make money, manage money, grow their money, protect their money, and to do it in a wise manner, not taking unnecessary risks. Though there's going to be times if you want to take a risk, then go for it. That's how the wealthy get wealthier. But we show you slow and steady wins the race. And then we also have other courses. We want to bring about a platform where we have the most gifted and highly skilled educators around the world in every subject, teaching in multiple languages for a fraction of the cost, where individuals can get a degree. And I liken it to like saying, you know, you have a cheetah and a fish. You can't compare the two. You can't expect the cheetah to swim like a fish in the ocean. You can't expect the fish to run like the cheetah on the land. They are two different individuals and they are gifted differently. So it's the same thing with our students or with the human race. We have different skill sets and different gifts. So I remember my daughter coming to me one day and said, I feel so dumb, Daddy. These kids in this class are so smart. I said, well, honey, I'm raising a Mozart, not an Einstein. It's okay. You're very talented and gifted in music and arts, very creative. And this science class may be boring and very difficult to comprehend, but you're not dumb at all. You're just gifted in another area. So we force all of our kids down the same narrow hallway and expect them all to be great in these subjects. And it's just impossible. It sets them up for failure. So I would rather follow like the German school system, where they find out what you're good at an early age, and they start preparing you to be an expert in that area from a young age. And they groom the kids in a way that helps develop them mentally, where they become secure in who they are and confident. And that's what we need to do in the Caribbean, in the United States, and in other parts of the world, where we need to help individuals tap into what they are good at and groom them in that area. So I believe that the time is coming that the education system is going to have a shift. And with Risen, we have a concept called Refer for Rewards, where individuals that sign up, they can refer other students to join, and we will pay them for those referrals to pay for their education, so they can eventually work their way to heaven, so to speak. They can pay off their education, leave school with money in their pocket and a degree or certificate. So it's a revolutionary concept, Andre, and I believe that in due time, we will have big investors that will come along and will be a part of the global education discussion, and to be able to educate the masses of millions of people around the world at a fraction of the cost.
Fantastic. That is great. That's great stuff. Well, we're running out of time. So what I'm going to do, Telly, I'm just going to give you a quick minute to wrap up, just give you your final words on the importance of financial literacy and what it will take for us in St. Kitts and Nevis, in the Caribbean and wider world, to be more engaged in that area. The same for you as well, Justin. So Telly, we will go with you, and then Justin.
Okay, so the importance of financial literacy. As we can see, we're living in perilous times. We have economic challenges that we even have impact from a war that we didn't start. Mm-hmm. It's occurring in a different part of the world, but it's affecting supply chains, flour, and indirectly other supply chains. It's even changing the way banking is done, adding additional costs for compliance and all of that. The energy costs obviously are rising as a result of these different dynamics, and these energy prices put a downward pressure on your incomes. It's called inflation. Your salaries are not going up, okay? So you have a ceiling, and this ceiling is being pressured by inflation, all the additional things. You go to the groceries, prices are up for one reason or the other. You go to the pump, gas is up. We're going to be in this phase for close to a year or two. And this is just coming out of the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, right? So there are challenges, but just because there are challenges, there are also opportunities. So it is really imperative that we look at financial literacy and by extension, financial capability in order for individuals to become financially resilient so that they can weather the storms, so that they can reduce their stress levels. Stress kills, by the way. So while we're looking at COVID deaths, a lot of people dying of heart attacks and just dropping down. So there's a linkage between financial stresses and so on. So there's so many things that you have to do, but then it really requires you to put a step forward, the individual to actually put a step forward and put things into action. So it's really vital for the broader institutions that we're in, whether it's the education system, the governments, they really have to recognize that should become a policy issue. We should really have a policy, an act that empowers people in the area of financial literacy and capability, but in doing so, you're going to actually create greater impact, reduce the cost of healthcare to society, and also increase wealth, because then people then are more empowered. They not just understand options, because listen, if you talk about basic financial literacy, a lot of people know the options, credit union, bank, loans, whatever. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how this integrates into them understanding more financial decision, and also looking at alternatives. Then the private sector, it's time for you to step up and launch products, whether it's in fintech that actually allow for alternative financial models, alternative investment models, and also those of our people who have the wealth. It's time for you to change your mindset and become investors. So this is where there's another educational pathway that they have to follow, because you can't just stick there with your money in a savings account doing nothing. Your money needs to work. The only way you get your money to work is if you put it towards something. And ventures is an asset class that is very significant, and it's highly missing in our region.
That's a very good point to end on, because yes, there is a lot of wealth sitting there not doing anything, and which can be used to help advance other people's lives. Justin, your final words.
If I were to tell anybody what they should do, it would be to get up and go after it yourself. Many people are not going to believe in you. You're going to have to believe in yourself. You're going to have to take the bull by the horns and get after it. Don't believe that the government is going to swoop in and save you, or the wealthy are going to somehow share some of their money with you, or they're going to create opportunities. No, they want more wealth for themselves. The government, they can fall into corrupt patterns of behavior, and they want to heap the money to themselves and their family. So it is up to you to take advantage of the educational opportunities that are available, that are out there for you, and get after it. Go and learn something new. Take advantage of these opportunities that are available to enhance your skill set, as we discussed, and to find something that is going to help you generate monthly income in a passive or residual manner, so that you can have money working for you instead of spending your time going out and trying to work for it in a regular job that is just going to kill you at the end of the day. Learn how to make money by using money.
You're listening to Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis. As I said earlier in the show, we have an interview with Zaisha Joseph. She is a student from St. Kitts and Nevis who recently graduated from the New York Film Academy with a bachelor's degree in acting. She plans to develop a film industry in St. Kitts and Nevis and the wider Caribbean.
I've always, wanted to study acting, for as long as I can remember. As a child in school, I would do things. I would do monologues on the stage and stuff like that. I've always wanted to do it. And, as I got older, the need and the want for me to do it got, bigger. And so I eventually got a scholarship from the Lion Mega Education Foundation. And I came here and I studied acting for film. And when I got here, I realized that, that it's not a bed of roses, you know. It's not like, oh, you're gonna go there, you're gonna go to Hollywood, it's gonna be successful, all that, you're gonna be successful, all that is a lie. You know, in order for me to make a kind of make a name for myself, I had to start doing my own work, you know. And then, yeah, that's where it went up from there. But anyways, I graduated from the New York Film Academy with a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in acting for film. I graduated with honors, and I'm very proud about that.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
When you look at your journey, the fact that you said you were always interested in acting from a young age, and you finally got to the stage where you are probably the first student from St. Kitts and Nevis to graduate from the New York Film Academy.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Wow. What about the degree? Like, am I the first?
Well, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But how does it feel, though?
It feels good. It feels good because I've always loved the arts. And I feel like it's something that young people need, you know? It's like a way for them to express themselves. And the fact that I am doing it, I think a lot of people are looking up to me, and perhaps they're even thinking about, you know, studying acting as well, or music, or, you know, dance and stuff like that. So it feels really good to be an inspiration to others.
Yeah. What's next for you now? You've now completed the degree. You're now a qualified actress based on your qualifications, your degree qualifications. Yeah. How do you intend to take that knowledge now to go out into the real world?
Right. Well, what's next? I intend to keep, you know, working on my films. You know, I write as well, I produce. And I also want to make films about St. Kitts and Nevis, because we have so many unique stories and we just need somebody to tell them. And I want to tell those stories, and not just St. Kitts and Nevis, but the Caribbean region as well. And, you know, that's what's next with me. That's like coming up with stories about St. Kitts and telling them, filming them in St. Kitts and Nevis, all the other Caribbean islands. And also just continue working on my craft as an actress, because that's important. That's what I came here to study. So it's important that I work on my craft as well.
I know the last time we spoke, you said that you would be looking to come back home. You have set up your own company, your own studio, and do your own production. And to sort of build the film industry here in St. Kitts and Nevis. Is that still part of your plans?
Yeah, of course. Of course, I want to build a film industry, not just in St. Kitts and Nevis, but the Caribbean. You know, like how Nigeria has Nollywood, there's Hollywood, there's Bollywood. I feel like there could be like a Collywood or Carrywood or something like that, you know, because as I said, we have so many stories, and the Caribbean is a market untouched. And I feel like we have so much to share, and that is my genuine plan, you know. Yeah. As a filmmaker as well, so.
Right. So are you going to still stay in the U.S. for now, or are you going to be coming back home soon?
I think I'll be back and forth, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let's move on to your film. You have your first full-length feature film, which was just announced recently that it has been released on Prime Video, so that's a big
thing. Yes, yes.
Talk to us about this movie again. Give us some backdrop into the movie, a background into the movie, and and how is it going so far?
So it's going amazing. It's called Once and Can't Change. It's a feature film, which it kind of merged like three different cultures, like the African-American culture, the African culture, and the Caribbean culture. And the whole message in it, it's kind of like, you know, we are all the same, even though we may seem different. We all have similarities in our cultures. And it's a comedic drama. I filmed that last year in November. And I've been working on it since, you know, we finished the editing, we got a few deals from distributors and stuff like that. And, you know, we eventually got it on Amazon Prime.
You have been listening to Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. I was your host, Andre Huey. You can listen to this show once again. We rebroadcast on Wednesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Or you can tune in on demand by visiting our website, www.voiceofthecaribbean.net, clicking on the section that takes you to our shows. Again, thank you for listening to Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Stay tuned.